time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evershelton, it's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
All right, we're back here. Hey, this afternoon, my show this afternoon is going to be a little bit of a downer. I was telling Scott, I'm going to forewarn you. It's a little bit of a downer because we're going to talk about all the good things about America, which sometimes are not so good. But at the end of it, I'm gonna try and pull it out. I'm gonna save it by saying how we should all work together, and it's gonna be kind of schmaltzy at the end. So, hey, Scott, you came back.
You missed me.
I did miss you.
I was gone for about a whole 60 seconds.
Yeah, well, I tried to get that feeling that you get when people leave you, but I couldn't get that in, you know.
Oh, that I just don't care?
You don't care.
I don't care. No. So I think we solved all the world's problems last hour. Well, I don't think we really did, because we really don't know what's going to happen at the party. But you know what? Regardless, it's going to be a fun party because I know the people who are coming who will show up.
Now, I was offended to hear that you're going to invite two more people from the station, but not invite me again.
Haven't we been through this?
Yeah, we have. Let's drop this dead dog.
Well, but the point is that I think that at some point, you just have to have a good time in life.
You do.
And there are some people who, frankly, are no more fun.
There are so many people, especially now, and I'm probably a contributor to this, but there are so many people that take themselves and life so seriously. And you would think during the coronavirus, now, I take being alive seriously, and I just lost another friend yesterday to the coronavirus, and I take that seriously. But we're all going to go. So you've got to relax and let it life happen, because life is going to end. And especially if you're like me, who is an agnostic, I believe life is just going to end and I'm going to return to my my stardust from whence I came.
Well, I think everybody's allowed to have their own belief.
Absolutely.
I don't think we can dictate anything to anybody.
And I don't think we should even try. And that's what bothers me about nowadays. Everybody's trying to tell me how I should live. Now, I understand you shouldn't hurt other people in your life, but that goes out the window with you. But you don't care about us.
Well, no, I don't know that I want to hurt people.
No,
I just don't.
You don't care whether you hurt people.
Well,
oh, that sounded like a Phyllis Diller laugh from a male. I'm sorry.
You did a Phyllis Diller laugh. No, I just don't. The point is, week number 17 of discussing this is just simply.
Why did you look at the computer when you said week 17? Is this the 17th week of the coronavirus?
No, I'm just saying we've done this now for a while,
but
I'm going to point this out one more time.
Okay, I'll listen. Shut up, Glenn.
When people leave my life, that's okay.
Yeah.
Whether I leave them or they leave me, because there are other people in the life who, I mean, why spend my time worrying about the people who are gone?
Okay, here's a question. Now, you have admitted that there are three that are very important to you.
Three,
if one of those three leave your life.
Fine.
Okay. All right. Then you're an equal opportunity non-carer.
Well, yes, because I cannot base my importance of people on what they think of me. That's very shallow.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you.
Right. I mean, so
I disagree with you, but I got you.
I wouldn't. This is a very deep conversation that I don't think we've ever had. But okay. This is true.
I love deep conversations.
This is a deep conversation.
Except for with my wife.
Have you, when you first meet somebody, if you don't know them, like they're not a friend of the family or somebody you went to school with or something like that, if they're just totally blank to you, in the beginning, there's a lot you don't know about them. A lot you don't know about them.
Yes, absolutely.
Quite a bit. And we'll get back into this momentarily. You go ahead, caller.
Hey, Star.
Hey, Chip. How you doing?
Good.
You out there listening this morning?
Yes.
Well, we're glad to hear from you. What's new?
Well, nothing. Been watching Mike Ryan all week.
You're watching what, Chip?
Mike DeWine all week.
Mike DeWine.
Mike DeWine, absolutely.
Well, he's no good.
He's no good. Well,
there's an opinion.
Now, you know, Chip, the canine with the Marion Police Department is named after our friend
Chip.
Is that
right?
Absolutely.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
What a good dog.
What a good dog. And we're so glad. And nobody deserves that honor more than Chip. Chip is a hard worker at the Kroger out at the south side of town.
On the other side of town.
Yeah. Absolutely. Have you been going to work, Chip?
Yes.
How's work been?
Good.
Stay healthy. Stay away from all those people with bad coughs.
Me have the mask on.
Good boy. Good
way to go, Chip. Yeah. Well, I'm glad everything's going well with you, and I'm glad you're still out there. It's always good to hear from you, Chip. You call in anytime.
You what? You have a mask on, too?
I do wear a mask, yes.
Good.
Well, I thank you for caring about that, Chip. You're such a nice, caring person.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chip.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye, Chip.
Okay. One of the great people in Marion.
That's cool.
Chip, wonderful guy. That's worked cool. with him for quite a while. Like Chip a lot. Now, the deep conversation simply is...
Yes.
Okay, you meet somebody blank, and you don't know anything about them. Well, obviously, you learn things about them.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, have you ever had that moment where the more you learn about them, the more you get... on them, you start to think, ooh, wait a second.
Made a mistake here.
Not that I made a mistake, but that this is not the person that I thought it was.
Yes. And
okay. Well, there's, I don't even know, I'm not going to get it in a minute, but I'm going to tell you how this ties into a guest that I had on one time.
All right.
It's a great story, but we are going to have to wait. So fill a minute here, Glenn.
Okay, I'll fill a minute. I have a friend, I'm going to say an acquaintance that I met a long time ago. I liked him a great deal at the beginning, and then I found out he was he was one of those people that only cared about you if you could do something for him. And, that's kind of disappointing, isn't it, when people do that to you?
Well, I'm not even saying it has to be that deep. Maybe you just learn the groups that they run in. Maybe you learn, because you wouldn't know that in the beginning.
No, you wouldn't.
Or you learn the feelings that they have on certain things, or maybe you learn how they handle certain situations, and after a while you go, wow, this is time for a break here on this program. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Glenn Coble, Scott Spears sitting in for the one and only... unduplicatable, irreplaceable Charlie Evers.
That PSA we just ran, that depressed me.
You cry every time.
It just depresses me that, first of all, that people blame their drug abuse on outside sources. and I understand that. But they also, I hate that people feel so sorry for themselves, because you can do something about that sort of thing. Now, I understand some people have a sickness that they can't do something about, and I'm wrong there. So, anyway,
go ahead, caller.
Hey, how are you doing, Greg?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Hi, this is for Glenn.
Okay, I'm here. Is this Bob?
Hi, Glenn.
Yeah.
You just hit it right on the nose a little bit ago.
Uh-oh, I hope it didn't bleed.
People, I know you. When they want something, they want to be your friend. When they want something. When you want something, or need some help, they don't want to give it to you. So I don't really have friends, I have acquaintances.
Yeah. Well, you must know Scott really well.
The fair weather.
Fair weather.
You can't. Since I don't drive, I can't drive because of my medical.
Uh-huh.
And if I need a ride to go somewhere, it's either going to cost me an arm and a leg, or they don't have time. But when they need something, they want to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
They're friends.
Yeah,
they're
and it's hard to be in a situation like that, isn't it, Bob, where you really do need their help, but you don't want to impose. Yeah.
Oh, Bob, just dust them off. Get rid of them.
Right. That's what Scott says.
Everybody's like this anymore. I try not to be. Well, I'm saying, not everybody I know, they always want, but they don't want to do it for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
And so, there's a lot of people out there that way. And he's a drug user out there. And I know a few, but I don't associate with them.
Yeah.
But every now and then, they'll give me a call. Well, we need milk, or we need bread. Don't spend your money on drugs. Buy food, feed your kids.
I understand that feeling. I try to get past that, though.
Yeah, so I give up on that.
Yeah.
Bob, thanks for calling.
Anyway, you hit it right on the nose.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Thanks.
Phone lines are open if you want to share your opinion at any time. Call in 740-383-9944. That's why we are the talking place.
You know, that's something that hurts my heart, what Bob said, that you give up on those people that do drugs. Now, when I was a kid, I've done marijuana, I've done LSD, I've done a couple
others.
This
is like
others.
AA.
Yeah, well, I've done all those things, but I was lucky. I never got hooked on it. I never cared about them. The high that I got off of marijuana probably was the best of the highs. The other ones were just gave me a headache.
Now we know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
The final piece of the puzzle.
There you go. But I've been lucky because I didn't get hooked on that stuff, and I'm sorry for the people that have. And I try to help. I've tried to help people to the point where my wife and my children have told me, Dad, you can't do that. Those people could hurt you. And they won't.
Well, but this comes back to the point I'm trying to make, is that you learn about somebody and it becomes, it's not through any fault of their own, it's just who they are.
It's a burr under your saddle.
Not really.
No?
But you just think, well, you know, that's I was going to tell a story. See,
okay, yeah.
You talked for so long, Glenn.
I'm sorry, big mouth.
Yeah,
Glenn.
No. I became a fan of the actress Ashley Williams, which everybody knows now. She was on the show last November. It was great. But she did a show, and here's why I love this show, because back in the early 2000s, she was on a sitcom. It didn't last very long, but it was called Good Morning Miami.
Oh, yeah.
It was on NBC.
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was on for about 2 years. But the plot line of this show was, and I'll give it to you very basically, was there was this very successful television producer. And he was, everybody in the country was after him to be their producer of their morning show. Now, he takes an interview at this ramshackled station down in Florida, but the only reason he took the interview was to go visit his grandmother, who lived in Florida, and it was kind of a free trip. He never had any intention of taking the job.
Gotcha.
So he goes down there, and he happens to be taking the interview and just about to tell the guy that he's not going to take the
job.
He
meets Ashley.
He meets Ashley.
Yeah.
She comes in and she touches his hair, and it's love at first sight. Okay.
By touching his hair?
Touching, because she's the hairdresser at the
store. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So he takes the job.
Of course.
Well, then, during this is just the first episode. During the this is what hooked me on the show, because it was such a great first episode. During the course of the first episode, he finds out that she's dating the anchor. So she's involved.
Yes.
And now he's going to leave. Well, now he's ticked because there's no opening.
Why
there.
Should he be ticked?
But hold on. Okay. Hold on. So his grandmother is there with him at the station as he's getting ready to quit. And she says, you know, you're in love. Fight for her. Blah, 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 blah.
Grandmas do that.
Grandmas do that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the grandma on this show was played by the late Suzanne Plachette.
Oh,
from Bob Newhart.
I love her.
So a great actress. So she's telling him, fight for her. And she makes a bet with him. And she says, I'll bet you $100 you can't go say goodbye to her. Because she walks in the room. He says, bet. So he walks over. And he can't say goodbye to her. And she touches his hair again. And she says, on Monday, I'm giving you a haircut. And he goes, I'll be here. So he doesn't leave. And then you hear Suzanne. The joke is you hear Suzanne Plachette off the stage go, I can take two 50s if you don't have 100. So that's okay. That's the first episode.
Now, there was a good-looking woman, Suzanne Plachette.
Not at that point because
no,
she'd been on in years.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, this is.
Why do you keep looking over there at that computer? You must have somebody that's giving you sweet nothings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what's going on. So anyway,
finish your story.
What's that? A good not first episode?
Yeah, that sounds like a great episode.
Okay, so the whole season they never get together. The whole season,
that's a shame.
She's still with the boyfriend.
Yeah,
and he's trying to win her over. So that's the whole first year. Now, during the course of this, the secretary at the television station is the only one who knows, but aside from Grandma, that he. Like
kind
sir.
Of thing, yeah.
Yeah. So the secretary all season is trying to help him get her, trying to help facilitate.
But does she have a desire for him?
That's what happens.
Aha!
She develops a desire for the secretary.
Yeah.
So at when the end of the first year,
the secretary
who's also a young person.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, 20s. So at the end of the first episode, or first season, 24 episodes, it's a great, because the secretary finally tells him that she has a thing for him.
Ooh.
And she's quitting because she can't stand to watch this anymore. She can't help anymore. She can't stand it.
I'm glad I'm not that age.
So she leaves. And so he finally tells the girl he likes her. First time he does it after 24 episodes.
The
girl he's been
at. Not the secretary.
Not the secretary.
I got you.
He tells her, and she gives all these reasons why she can't be with him. I'm not spontaneous. I can't do that. I can't just walk away from my boyfriend. And all this. And this is the football. This is the goal here. He says, "Oh, you're not the girl."
Ooh.
Because she was not willing to drop everything for him. She was not willing to run, and the secretary was.
Yeah.
And all this time he thought the girl was Ashley Williams. But it turned out the girl was left her phone on during a live radio show. He found out that the girl was the secretary. But he never thought that the entire time. So that's what I'm talking about in regard to you don't know somebody. And then you learn things about them. And maybe you think they are this great thing. But through time, you learn, well, maybe they're just a person.
Yeah, and I think that happens
to all of us. That was long-winded to get to where I wanted to get, but it's an Ashley Williams story, so I'll let it go.
That's all right. I you had already blamed me for going long-winded, so that makes it even now, all right? Now, have you ever had somebody like that that you fell in love with and then found out after swooning and mooning and all that crooming and all that stuff that person was not it? Have you ever gotten into that situation?
All of them.
All of them. Oh my.
Oh yeah. The bloom comes off the rose at
you're quick with that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I would fall in love and I would stay in love for, well, ever. I mean, I still have very warm feelings about most of my girlfriends, my ex-girlfriends.
No, when it's time to go, it's time to go.
That's what they said to me.
Yeah.
No, adios.
I just, you know, you but I love that story because I
that
really
is a cool
think,
story.
I think it's the truth. And that's why that was such a good show. I don't know why they canceled it.
I wonder if the writer of the show had that happen to them.
I don't know, but I do know the writer went on to write Will and Grace, so they did okay.
Cool, yeah.
But I think that happens a lot. I think a lot of times you put all this focus and all this energy on somebody who is unobtainable because of circumstance,
yeah.
And you find out during the process that
maybe
you really didn't care all that much because they're not willing to meet you halfway.
You thought they were.
Yeah. Right, they're not who you thought they were.
You know what I'm doing now? And I know this is way off the track, but I've decided to watch West Wing again. And everybody who knows me and knows my shows knows that I'm a pretty liberal guy. And West Wing, I have fallen in love with, like what you just talked about. And if I recall correctly, West Wing ends up doing that to me. The last season of it, I go, oh, is that all there is? You know, and I got a little disappointed with it.
No, see,
kind of like House of Cards. Oh, I loved it for the first 8 episodes, and then the guy shoots somebody, kills somebody. And I go, that was the last one I watched. I didn't want to see my president be a murderer.
See, I liked the last season of West Wing because they brought in Alan Alda, and
yes,
they brought in Jimmy Smits, and
yeah,
they had a real election.
Yeah,
it wasn't so much about Martin Sheen anymore and just this one.
Yeah.
It was about, and I thought they were great.
Both
those
they
actors
were
great.
They were.
You know, there's a moment, and I was not a big West Wing fan, but few moments in television can stick out in my head, but Alan Alda plays the Republican,
yep,
and Jimmy Smits plays the Democrat. And
yep,
all season, they run this campaign. It's
yep,
the whole last season.
And both of them are on the edge of being Republican or on the edge of being Democrat.
Right.
They're not solid.
And in the end, Jimmy Smits wins by one state,
yeah,
the Democrat. But Alan Alda's an older guy at the time. But
yeah,
there's this episode where the day after the election, he's nobody now. He's
yeah,
left his Senate seat. He's not running for president anymore. He's lost. And I imagine a lot of people must feel that the day after the election's over.
Oh, yeah.
But the great line in that show is he thinks he should run again because he came so close and he knows now how to win and he's going to run the next time. And his staff is all saying, you know, look at your age. And look. So then during the episode, Jimmy Smits offers him Secretary of State. And he says, I'm not going to do it because it'll take me out of the running. And his advisor walks up and says, you can either be a great Secretary of State or you can be the guy who didn't know when to quit. And I thought,
boom, right in the nose.
What a great line that, yeah, not just for West Wing, think about your own life.
Yeah.
When is enough enough?
Well, you know, I've gone through, as you know, I've run for office twice, lost both times. First time, not so bad. The second time, got hammered pretty good. But you do think that the day after. And I was active this time in the Democratic primary, and my guy didn't win.
Here comes a break. We're coming back
in
1 minute with the rest of this story.
Scott, you know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist, but actually one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, WWGH Radio. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, filling in for the legendary icon himself, Charlie Evers, who I did get word is listening.
Hey, Charlie. Wake up.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because Charlie has done this show for 6 years now.
Yeah.
Started June 11th, 2014.
You even know the date.
Well, I know that. You know why I know the date?
Why?
Because only two people are left from the beginning.
You and him?
Well, three.
Okay.
Me, Charlie, and Linda.
Oh, okay.
And I know I know the date the station started. I think everybody should know that.
Oh, what is it?
June 10th.
June 10th,
2014. And I know Charlie was on the second day.
Okay.
So that's why I know June 11th.
Okay.
That's why I know the date. So nearly 6 years.
Okay.
Now, when you have somebody coming in 3 days a week for 6 years and you see them three times a week, and a month goes by and you're, even though I have visited him at home,
yeah,
you know, you miss that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so either. I'm glad he's
seeing him badly.
Yes, I'm glad, and you've only been together about
six.
Well,
yeah,
about 6 months working with him.
Yeah,
so you know,
I tell you what, if you get to know Charlie, you fall in love with him. I mean, that's the way he is. I know people that hear him on the radio think they've fallen in love with him and they're best friends. But if you really get to know him, and I sort of did really get to know him because I engineered his show, I really miss him.
Well, you got to understand about Charlie.
So get back here.
Well, I'm glad he's listening right
yeah,
now
I am too.
Because the truth of the matter is there will never be anybody like Charlie again, and that's why we can't wait to see him again because I saw it for 6 years. He does not use notes.
No, he doesn't.
He does not. The only thing I ever saw him write down was trivia questions.
And
that was it.
And even if he's making it up, I believe what he's saying. I don't know. Charlie, someday you're going to have to tell me, are you making up the answers that you're given?
Well, it was always interesting to me because he did have a journal where he would write down trivia questions.
Did. Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah.
What he talked about was just off top of his head. And he did it for 6 hours every week.
And we're going to try to have on James Anderson next Thursday. And if Charlie doesn't get back to do that show, I'm a little concerned that I'm not smart enough to do what Charlie did with James. We're going to try, but I'm not sure I'm smart enough. I know some about wildlife. I know some about outdoors. But Charlie, he had been an ag guy. He had been an outdoors guy. He knows everything.
Well,
now get your head back in shape here, Charlie.
Well, it's just, you know, you have to understand the gravity of the broadcaster that he was. And everybody has a different recollect with him, is what I found over the years.
Is that
there
a
were
word?
Yeah.
Recollect?
Sure.
Okay.
It was that. If it's not, we're going to say it is. Write that down. Google that, Glenn. Recollect. Is that some people remember him putting Lady Justice on the courthouse.
Yeah.
Some people remember him because he came up with Buckeye Chuck. Some people remember him because he founded the Peanut Push.
Yeah.
Some people remember him because of Evers Arena at the fair and all the broadcast he did there. And some people just remember him from saying that their school was going to be closed because he did that for so many years when the only way you could get that in Marion County was the radio.
Yeah.
So you have a unique personality delivering unique information for more than 50 years in this area. So you cannot fill that gap with anybody, and that is why having him out not feeling the best right now is very difficult because nobody can do what he does.
It's rough on the radio station. It's rough on all of us here at the station, Charlie. So get better and get back because
we can't dust his shoes off because he and I told him this, so this is no shock that he'll hear this. Had he not been here in the beginning, maybe that's another reason I remember the date so well, June 11, 2014, when he did his first show. Had there not been Charlie Evers, we wouldn't be here today.
Probably not.
Not probably.
Yeah.
It's true. Because he lent instant credibility to the things that we were doing.
Yep.
And also, he was here election night. For the first 5 years, we did the Bratwurst Festival together. He went to the fair with us. Heaven knows I wouldn't have known what was going on at the fair without him. So we did these things that were so community oriented that he was a part of, and everybody knew him, and everybody knew his name and his versatility, and you could hear his show every day. And I remember when we first started doing repeats, I remember, I don't know why I was out, but I remember it being a Tuesday night, like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm driving down Greenwood, and I got the station on because I would tune in to make sure we're still on the air. And I tuned it in, and there's Charlie, one of the repeats, and I would sit and listen, you know, because he's always interesting.
Yeah. It makes and you
that,
smile.
And I think that's the best thing you can say about somebody, and that's why we miss him not coming in every week, because I love talking to him during the breaks. Yep. I love what he would say. He always had something on his mind. He would come and sit until I was done in the lobby, and then we'd spend 15 minutes solving the world's problems before he'd go on the air.
To the folks that are listening, the twinkle in his eye is also the twinkle in his voice, and I... You know, he is that way. It just seems like it.
Oh, and I don't think he ever got behind a microphone. And last year, you know, last 2019, and I think he told people this. Well, people know. He was out with pneumonia.
Yeah.
And he spent some time in a nursing home.
Right.
And he came back with oxygen.
Yes,
on.
I remember.
That was his decision.
Yeah.
The microphone was his thing.
Yeah.
And I think it still is.
And it turned him from... from off to on. I mean, as soon as he, even when he fell down that day and hurt his arm, I tried to wound
him. Couldn't keep him away.
No, he sat down in the chair and it went from, oh, I'm not feeling so good, to, hi there. And he was wide open.
You know what's funny you mentioned that? I went back and found that show.
Uh-huh.
Because after he fell down, I thought, you know, what? Because you don't think of it at the time. And I thought, well, how did that show come off? Because I know he hurt his arm horribly that day.
Well, it was really ugly.
Yeah. Show sounds fine.
Yeah.
Except you hurt him that day, Glenn.
I did hurt him.
Why did you pour alcohol on his arm?
I did pour alcohol on his... I drank the alcohol and put mercurochrome on it.
It's on tape, Glenn, where you pour something on his arm he got angry at you, he said, don't do that again.
No, I put something... I put a disinfectant on his arm, and it wasn't very comfortable.
Now, why would you do that when somebody's on the air?
Because I didn't want Charlie to get... I didn't want infection to set in.
We should have waited for the break.
Well, we ended up just putting gauze over it, which did protect it for a while, because he knew that he could run water on the gauze and it would fall off. Whereas if we put something on there like Band-Aids or something like that, it was going to rip that skin off.
But you know, he did the typical Charlie Evers thing that day. He fell down downstairs, came up here. You're bandaging him up as his show starts.
That's right.
And he's telling you what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's telling you, listen, I came in this morning. I don't know what happened. I fell downstairs. Now Glenn is here trying to bandage me up. His wife brought in that's him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I tried to get the nurses from downstairs in the heart health area to come up, and they were going to, but apparently they were listening and found out that he was doing okay.
He was doing okay. He made it through okay. And, you know, like I say, the grocery store, the emails, the Facebook, the phone calls that are here in the morning when I come in on the answering machine. And the best I can say at this point is I saw Charlie Saturday. He's at home. You know, he doesn't have coronavirus, which some people have said.
Oh, yeah,
he doesn't have coronavirus.
Well, and I hope he stays inside like he has been doing so that he doesn't get there.
And I had a great visit with him Saturday night. We had a great talk. I know he's listening to the radio. He had one next to him that night, and I know he has one there right now. So, you know, that's what I can say right now. But I can't imagine anything stopping him,
good.
Period. That's just my opinion, but I think anybody who listens would say the same thing.
Hey, Charlie, we love you, and you come back whenever you want to.
Oh, that's what I told him that yeah. Saturday night, because we did talk a little bit about that. I said, Charlie, when are you coming back to work? And we just had a little joke there, and he said, I said, well, your chair's always there.
Yeah.
And it always is.
Yeah.
So there it is.
So if I happen to have James Anderson on next Thursday and you decide to come in and do your show, you got James Anderson on Thursday.
Oh, and as Charlie said when he left because he wasn't feeling great, that he would come back periodically. And he has called in, so we appreciate that. And it's always fun with Charlie. What can you say?
Yeah.
And this is the proper place to talk about him because we've said energy issue and we've done that, but we haven't got in depth like we just did.
Yeah.
And people want to know.
Yeah.
And that now you know.
Yeah.
But he's I saw him Saturday. So what can you say? He's not got the coronavirus. He's not. We talked. Well, so there you go.
He's not driving cross country on his bicycle either.
No, he's not doing that anymore. But I bet if somebody challenged him, he would be up there soon enough. You're darn right.
So get better.
Absolutely.
Get back here. We're waiting.
We're waiting.
Not people can only take Scott and Glenn so long.
Well, I hope that's not true because I'm on every morning.
Well, okay. I meant as a duo.
As a duo. Yeah. Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
But Charlie, get well soon. We know you're listening, and we want to see you soon, and we will. So, on that, with the last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
We do have Glenn's show today from 12 to 1.
Yeah.
We do have James Anderson today. Not James Anderson.
Yeah.
That's nice. Nate Redman, Offbeat News and Trivia, 4 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6 to 7, and a whole lot of other nice programming dispersed in throughout the day.
Right.
But back to the focal point, you have bored of people once you didn't know them in the beginning. But once you got to know the type of person they were, and once you got to know what circles they hung out in, and once you got to know how they reacted to things, you said, well, maybe they're not the person I thought they were.
I prefer not to use the term bored with people.
Did I just say that?
Yes, you said.
Okay, well, let me say it again. Bored with people. I got bored with people.
I don't get bored with people. I in general... like to be with people all the time, but I'm not one of those gregarious people that want to have parties going on around them all the time.
Oh, I don't want parties either.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I'm just saying sometimes people grate your nerves.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens.
And you didn't think they ever would.
You won't believe this, but my wife says that about me.
That you grate her nerves.
Yeah.
No, I would believe that.
You would?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought I was charming at all times. I'm sorry.
It's a comedy day.
Yeah, it must be.
It's a comedy day.
We're not as good as Shecky, though.
No, we're not. Boy, what a show that was this morning.
It was good.
But I just think that, you know, we are where we are and in life, and sometimes we got to realize that all the virtues that we lay on somebody, they might not be capable of carrying that bandwagon.
Yeah, that's right. And we're pretty high. We need a high level of carrying. You and I really put a lot on our friends, I think.
I don't.
Oh, I think you do, and you don't know it.
No, a friend is fine, but I'm just saying sometimes you
okay, Scott, I don't like you at all, but I'm telling you.
No, you think somebody... if you think somebody can be the best, you know, that's a lot to lay on somebody. I don't lay that on all my friends.
No, but you do lay it on some.
On some. Yeah. But then when I find out they're not, it's time to
like
get off of this train. Like Colin Powell once said, when you get to the last stop, you get off.
Yeah. Unless you're riding on the L in Chicago and you never know where the last stop is.
You get there.
Yeah.
You eventually get there.
They turn around and come back. That's...
So your show's coming up next year on WWGH Radio in just about 15 minutes. But this has been fun filling in for Charlie. But
great fun.
We'll be back tomorrow doing the same thing.
Tune in.
Nate Redman, 4 to 5 p.m., the Trinity Baptist Church, 6 to 7. So stay tuned here on WWGH Radio, where the G stands for hopefully good radio. That's
and
what
Glenn.
We hope for. And Glenn. And that's all for today's show. Glenn Coble coming up in 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now inside the Quicken Loans Arena looking at the Oregon delegation from the rafters.
No kidding, you're among the seats.
I am in the seats right now. I can see Oregon and Indiana and New Hampshire. I am in the arena.
Wow. Say, Scott, were you there last night for Cruz?
I was, and let me tell you, one of the discussions yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention. And if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention, probably the biggest star-studded convention you've ever seen. We've got huge, huge stars. We've got Gary Busey, LaToya Jackson, Jose Canseco, some of the really, really big names from Celebrity Apprentice, and I think it really, really is.
To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, commenting on Hillary Clinton.
Do you have, in closing this week, do you have a favorite Hillary Clinton story?
Well, you know, I would see her quite often. One of the things I most remember her about was when Sacagawea was introduced. She was in charge of that, the whole ceremony and everything. She was the master of ceremonies. And we had all the Indians there and everything. The Indians, every tribe was represented. And she did a beautiful job with that. But she's always so friendly. And it upsets me when I hear people talk about her the way they do, because that isn't her. And I don't know why it's ended up that way, you know? But if somebody would explain it to me, I'd like to know.
Jim Blessing, grandson of President Warren G. Harding, announcing exclusively on WWGH Radio who he will support in the 2016 presidential election.
So your support would be with Trump?
I think that's what I would do. I think that that's where I would go.
To Scott Spears at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, with conservative legend Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.
WWGH Radio, your place for politics. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh107.com. Catch us on Apple device.